Will you turn with me, please, to Hebrews 11 again this morning? Hebrews chapter 11. First three verses of the chapter, please. We'll get into this chapter yet. I feel of another wee avenue I want to take you this morning, possibly, as the Lord leads as well. I just feel a wee bit of direction to go another way from what I have written down here this morning. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now if you were here, or you've noticed last week, last Sunday morning, I spoke on the force of faith, that how faith is our motivator. Faith is that which drives us, if you want, that leads us to go on with God. Verse 1 of the reading this morning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to just veer off in a moment from here. So this morning, I'm not going to break this down too much. I might leave it for another morning. Next Lord's Day morning is the Mothering Sunday, and Pastor Glenn will take that, and then I'll take the evening, but maybe I'll do it the week after. We'll see how we get on. But now faith that is now, faith that is operating now in the life, in the heart, in you, in me, even if it's very, very small, it's been faith that has brought you to this place. It is faith that has got you up when you could have stayed in bed. It is faith that got you to here. It's faith in God, in Christ. It is faith in his finished work. It's faith that you belong to him. And that faith is what leads us on. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, tells us, for by grace are you saved. You're saved by grace. Through faith, we believe that we're saved without works, without alms and deeds. So by grace are you saved through faith. And so it's faith that imputed faith that God has given us to the ability to believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. So faith is that which God gives you to be here this morning, to go on with God, to fellowship with him. Faith in prayer, faith in reading, faith in study, faith in gathering, faith in worship. And it's a substance, now faith. In other words, there's faith now. You might not feel like you have so much faith or too much faith. You might feel you have little faith, but that's why we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. So no matter how we feel in Christ, it is the faith that is working in us now. It is the faith that tells us that we are to be together. It is the faith that puts our hope and trust in Christ. And it's the faith that tells you when one door shuts, another door will open. It's the faith that tells you when you've knocked on a lot of doors, yet you haven't got to the right one, and God knows the door to open for you. That's all by faith. Now faith, in other words, this hasn't got that. It's not what's known as written in the definite article. So we talk about the faith once delivered unto the saints. The faith is the definite article, the one true faith in Jehovah God, in Christ Jesus. That's the definite article faith. There's lots of faith, things of faith, people of faith, of different things they have faith in. But the one true living God, the faith in him, in Christ, it's that faith is the faith once delivered unto the saints. That's the definite article. But here, it isn't just the faith. It is the faith that's given to you and 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 to me, which keeps us in the path and the way and the walking every day. Speaks in a generic more term of think of, if I can put it in that word for the right context of it. But I'll talk about that another time. Faith is in you now. Faith is working in your heart. What makes a man and a woman get up and get ready and come to a tent in a field up a country road with the wind blowing and the tent rattling and creaking and squeaking? You feel like you're on a ship in the sea, a wooden ship at that, with sails. What makes you be here? Is it because you like to see what the pastor's wearing on a Sunday morning? Well, dear love you, if that's what it's here for. Or is it faith that has brought you that you would be here to worship? That you'd be here to meet together? See, it's now faith. So the idea of it's working now. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. By divine appointment. And faith comes when God the Holy Spirit works in your heart. That's how we're saved. The interest of the things of God comes to us. The interest in the things of the cross. The interest in the things of our soul's welfare. Where will we spend eternity? That faith is birthed in us through the Holy Spirit regenerating us, making us alive. To realize we're not saved, to realize that we're in our sin, to realize if we died in such a state that we would be lost for all eternity. That our destination is a lake of fire found in Revelation chapter 20. And it brings us to the place of how do we get saved? How are we forgiven? How can we be with Christ, which is far better? Faith brings us, that faith is imputed. Imputed means it's put into us, given to us, added on to us. Counted up and added into us. And we see that Jesus is the only Savior who paid all of our debt. We do nothing but receive all that He has done. If you remember last week, we looked at the word faith, F-A-I-T-H. And some of the little acronyms are good, you know, forsaking all, I trust Him. And they're good, and I've mentioned it before, but faith is something deep. It's not something airy-fairy. It's not something that's whimsical. Faith is a substance. A substance in the heart. That's the force of faith. The substance in the heart that drives us to the cross. That draws us to Christ. That enables us to call on His name to believe. It's a substance that when we're at our weakest, when we're in our trials, when we're at our lowest, when we're in our states of mind or wherever we may be, faith is that, Lord, no matter what happens, You still have me. And You've got this. That this is still under Your sovereign will, authority, and control. And that's the faith. That's the faith that is birthed and given, imputed to us as believers. And if you're not saved this morning, and the things of God have started, the interests of the things of God have started to become real to you and alive to you, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. And it's not where do I get a sign from heaven. It's not where do I see something written across the sky. I want to feel an earth tremor while I'm sitting in church. Faith is accepting all that Jesus has done, and faith is believing everything that He accomplished is enough to pay the debt of your sin. That's faith. And if you're waiting to feel it, you could wait into eternity and be lost. Like God, as the old Puritan once said, doesn't do away with our emotions, but rather He takes them up and He uses them for His glory. And last week, if you remember, I did go off kilter a bit and I talked about how King Charles, had went to and allowed the that whole Muslim thing to happen. I'm not going to do it again. In Windsor Castle. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32 again, please. Because I feel I'm not finished there yet. Just want to show you something. We were singing Faithful One, So Unchanging there. And what actually happened this morning was we were missing a power lead, so Rebecca couldn't play and sing this morning on the keyboard. We're missing the power lead, but God willing, we'll have it for this evening. And the group just changed a few songs played between them, and that's why. But they picked Faithful One, So Unchanging. You are my rock in time of trouble. And I thought, well, this will fit Deuteronomy 32. Verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. In other words, his blessing from God had made him rich. Jeshurun is another word for Israel. In other words, he had brought him into the G7, if you want. Like Britain in the G, America and so on in the G 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 to the G20, wherever they have. In other words, made him the head. The head of the nation. And he says, now you've waxed in fat, and that which God has blessed you with, you turned around on your own greed. United Kingdom. Republic of Ireland and all that they have had, the prosperity from where they have come from. It's all about greed. Notice what he says, thou art covered with fatness, then he forsook God. And you see the picture forming here, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Capital R is, this is Jehovah or Yahweh, the rock of our salvation. And so we looked at this more detail last week, and in verse 16 we looked at the abominations, that which is loathsome to God, and how they, in verse 17, sacrificed unto devils, and then how they became unmindful, they deprived their minds and memories of the rock which bore them. It sounds just like us today, doesn't it? They forgot God, and it means they ignored him, and they ceased to care, they were oblivious from want and memory or any attention to God. And I haven't time to go through all of this, but I'm telling you this for a reason. For in verse 20, it says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a froward generation, children in whom is, what's the two words? No faith. You see, when you have no faith, nationally speaking, no faith, personally speaking, it opens the door for something else to come in. Now, when we say faith again, we mean faith in God, the living God, Jehovah God, in the person and the doing and dying and rising of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have no faith, nationally speaking, we're going to look and see what God said would happen to our nation. There's no faith in God. Where's the faith in God in the monarchy today? Where's the faith in God in Westminster? Where's the faith in God in Stormont today? Where's faith in God in the Doyle today? Well, here's the thing, there's no faith. There might be one here and one there, but I'm speaking in the General Assembly of nationalism here, of this island home of ours. Deuteronomy, please, 28. I'm just going to skip across this, and please read the whole chapter, but I just for time's sake, I'm going to skip across it. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, God says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day," notice that "the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." And that's what he did. That's what he did. But what happens by 32? Jeshurun, Israel, Britain here, America. Notice when it says Jeshurun, wax fat. And gross fat it means. It means their heart has become congealed toward God. Nationally become wicked and wayward, forgot God, started sacrificing unto devils. They've no faith. Brothers and sisters, used to be, I've done some teachings on it, it's online, but I've done teachings where nationally when King George VI called for a national day of prayer, when the troops were on in France and Belgium, and when their backs were against the wall, he called a national day of prayer, and there were photographs of them lining the streets of London to get in to pray, even those who didn't even really know whether there was a God or not. But they knew if there's a God, we're praying to him that he may help us. And faith was birthed. And God turned it around. God calmed the sea of the English Channel like it was like a mirror, like a duck pond, some said. God sent the angel of Mons, the angel who stood between the Germans and the British Expeditionary Forces. This great angel, and both sides have mentioned this and recorded this happened. Some of the British soldiers were hemmed in. They were doomed for defeat and for death. And the Germans were heavily outnumbering them and outmanning them. And they thought, "We'll just fight to the end and try and hold the post for as long as we can." And when the king called, King George VI called a national day of prayer, and the people flocked to the churches. Do you know what happened? And it's been recorded, I haven't got it here, for I'm just doing this from memory, but it's been recorded in the German lines. They saw white cavalry horsemen coming, and one at the front with golden, well, long spun hair, it said. Said his face was glistering white. And one of the Germans has recorded this because they wanted to know why the Germans dropped all of their weaponry and ran when they were winning. It's all recorded. It was in the newspapers of the time. How God had overlooked, he had answered prayer for the nation. I'm telling you this for a reason. The people somewhere had some idea of God, even they went to pray. And God turned it around. Look at chapter 28. Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Notice, this is a conditional promise. A conditional covenant. "Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall cause all thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face, and they shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways." And you can read on down there. God says, if you as a nation, Jeshurun, Israel, Britain, America, and so on, if you do these things, I'll bless you. I'll bless you in your home. I'll bless you in the cities. Have you seen the state of the cities recently? I'm a Belfast man. I love Belfast. Belfast, you took the man out of Belfast, but you can't take Belfast out of the man. I love my city. And I used to go down at least once a week. Now if I go down once every 2 months, I'm doing well. Because of the degradation that's in it. Because of what's happening in it. And I'm going to show you what's happening in it. Let's just read on down here a bit. Let your eye run down the chapter, please. Verse 12, and the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in a season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Does it sound familiar on the opposite direction? The multiple hundreds of billions that Britain is borrowing. In other words here, we're on the opposite end of the scale because of where we have went from God. And the Lord says, this isn't how I had it planned for you, my people. This is not what you should be living like. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to obey them, look, and to do them, pardon me, and look what we have kicked out every memory of the commandments of God, of the gospel of saving grace, of the Bible. Kicked it out of every public square and every avenue. Of universities and of schools and of colleges. We've kicked it out of even churches. We've mongrelized and bastardized the word of God. And we've put it into pulpits with men who think they're women. And we wonder why our nation is in the mess it's in. We wonder why Great Britain, United Kingdom, you can't even call it great anymore. Look at Ireland. Folks, there's no faith. When I say no faith, I mean no faith in the living God and his word and his commandments. There's no faith in the gospel of saving grace. None want to know it. They turn away from it. They despise the word of God. Media outlets. Well, what can we say about those? Spinning the web of lies. Covering up the truth. I find here that God is saying, if you walk in my ways, I will bless you. But if you don't, I'm going to show you what will happen. Let your eye run down, please. Verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. You can just write around that, and I say it with sadness, with tragedy in my heart. It's terrible. You can write Belfast, you can write London, you can write Glasgow, you can write Dublin there. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. And when we hear on the news, all they want to do is these elitists in the higher up echelons of, if you want, their own society, they're wanting to buy up your farmland. They're wanting to take it from you. Go through the government that they put a heavy tax upon it. where you can't pass it on to your kith and kin. And they buy it up, and then what they do is they own it all, and we're cursed in it. Because we've walked away from God. Look at verse 21 for time's sake. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with a stream burning, and with the sword, with the blasting, with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. What God is saying, there's going to come in all of these diseases into the land. How many vaccines are they looking to give your children now? It's like another disease every week. There's something like up to 40 vaccines now they're talking about. Trying to do poison you? Yes? Poison your children? This is because there's no faith in our land anymore. Faith in God. You know, see just at the bottom of my flyleaf here, here's what I've written. Look, there's it there. Look, that wee red line, is it? Probably can't see it. Eradicated diseases have now returned. Eradicated diseases have now returned. And they have returned due to all that has happened. The Lord says, I'll bring the rain in its season. I'll bring it when I say it's going to come. I'll cause the sun to shine. And here's the thing. We're hearing about net zero everywhere, aren't we? Net zero is ruining the country. And we're talking about net zero everywhere. We have to look after the environment and all this sort of stuff. Brothers and sisters, here's the thing. God promised that the seasons will come and the seasons will go and the seasons will change. And God has promised that if we as a nation, as a people, turn back and have faith in God again, that he will bless us in excellence and in prosperity. That God will bring his hand of blessing over us. That none will be able to curse us. Do you not realize, brother? Do you not realize, sister? That when God blesses you, none can curse you? Who knows that? See, when God decides to bless you and to bless me, there's no one can curse me. Not even the elitist governments. Notice here. Let your eye run down, please. To verse 42. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. Now notice, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. The Lord is saying, there will be those who come in your midst like illegal immigrants, and they're going to be in such a high level that you'll be so low. The Lord says that they'll get high, you'll be low. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if you and I say anything, then we're racist. Then we're bigoted. God says this would happen. Can anyone see this happening to our land? Anyone see it happening in Britain today? In Ireland today? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're Conor McGregor in the White House. And he didn't make a point. It doesn't matter if It doesn't matter if you're Charles, King Charles in London. It doesn't matter what you try and do for the environment. It doesn't matter how much we ploy into the National Health Service. Those that are within us are rising up above us, and we are being brought down low. Do you know what it's saying? You're going to work and pay all your taxes, and everybody else is going to avail of your money. It doesn't matter what people try to do, because if we, as a people, as a church, keep ourselves in line with God, God will bless us. As an assembly, keep ourselves in tune with God, God will bless us. Am I on my own with that? I believe that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. When God blesses us, when God blesses you, brother, and you, sister, and your home, and my home, and your children, and my children, or your grandchildren, when God decides to bless, it's like old Balaam, when he says, listen, he says to Balak, he says, I cannot bless what God has cursed, and I cannot curse what God has blessed. And God has blessed Israel, so I can't curse it. And it's the same with you and I this morning. I'm the blessed of the Lord. Do you know why? Because I'm under the blood. Because I'm following Christ. Because he loves me. Notice, if you will, the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, thou shalt be the tail. I think God's word is right up to date. Right up to speed. Verse 58, please. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. That is a definite article, by the way. The name, it's the word Hashem. Hashem. And it means thee. It's like Hasatan is thee Satan. Hashem is thee name. Shem means the reputation of God. The Shem means that all that God is in his name. Jesus says, I am come in my Father's name, meaning all that God is who I am. I am here and I put forward his name. I show his name. I'm come in his name. And when he died on the Calvary, it was his name, the name of God in him. God says, this is my character, my fame, my reputation on the cross, and I am dying for you. And the Lord says here, it's the word Hashem, the name. It's the definite article. Not just any so-called or supposed God, which aren't gods. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and a long continuance and sore sickness, of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. And every sickness and plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. I was listening to the radio on Friday, just for a brief period. And they were on about, again, vaccinating your kids. And they were talking about all of these diseases, which I said were eradicated, are back in around the people again. And there was a fear factor starting to get out. You could feel it even from the radio. People phoning in, all afraid. What must I do with this? You know? And here's the thing, brothers and sisters. These things are brought back into this land again, whether they're carried in or whether they've come in another way. And this is to bring in for the populace. That the people, what way would I put this? Big Pharma doesn't want you made better, do you know that? And many of them don't want you dead because they want you as a customer. Does that make sense? And here we find that the Lord says, these sicknesses will come in when you disobey me as a nation, as a people. Verse 67. Finish with this chapter, verse 67. Listen to what the Lord says. In the morning, thou shalt say, would God it were even. And that even thou shalt say, would God it were the morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord says there will come things into the land that you're going to be saying, oh, I wish it was night time to get to bed. I wish it was night time to get this day over. And some people, when they suffer with depression, would feel like that. Just wish this night day was over. And then in the morning, I'll get through the night and into the morning, and then when the morning comes, they get a bad night, and when the morning comes, I wish it all over again. And the Lord says that this will come as a widespread thing. Because people will look around them and be so afraid, so depressed. And they're going to say, would God it were even. In other words, the evening. And that evening thou shalt say, would God it were the morning, for now to go through the night here in the quiet hours of the night in the dark. If I have seen anything over the last few years, I've seen fear everywhere. Everywhere. See, if I had a pound for every person who came to me and said, you know what? I think I need to get right with God over the last few years. And then when things settled down, they really didn't want to get right with God. I'd be able to add it to the building fund and it would help us put the building up. They ran to the Christian who was, that is, the Christian who stood, not the Christian who hid under their duvet. Not the Christian who shut their door and run. Not the easy believing pastor that shut the doors and thought I'll have a month or two or three or whatever it was at the or more, a year off here. Let the sheep run about the fields themselves and be scattered. But someone who was there, someone who kept the doors open, someone who kept the meeting going, some of those churches have seen, they've seen a massive influx. And we had it too. Not only seen a massive influx, they've seen a massive exodus after everything had calmed down. You see, we want God at the time when we're fearful. And then when things calm down, he's not much use to me anymore. No faith. Of no faith. But the man or woman with faith, the imputed faith of God in their heart, that man and that woman, they have a substance in them. They have a substance in them. I had a man berated me for a long time. Used to make videos up from me. I was not specially made videos up just about me. Just about me. And he was the one that was writing, taking a stand, blah, blah, blah. And next thing I found out, he was sitting in the bars. Oh, got a bit too much for me. I don't relish in that. I wish that wouldn't happen. You need a substance, brother. Come on, sister. Substance here. This isn't whimsical. This isn't a let's try this thing. This isn't just, we'll see how it gets on and we'll give Jesus a try here. This isn't about, I'll hide away and I'll just spring out like a flower at springtime. Go, look, here I am again. Come on, brother, sister. Substance of faith. Something in you. And something in you's kept you all coming here. Right through that time. There's something in you. Came to a warehouse with people. Do you remember them all going there, doing their shopping on the Lord's Day? Remember down at the warehouse? And all the big shop windows were, for those who don't know. And Marks and Spencer's was open at a certain time on the Lord's Day, remember? And had all the tape made two meters back, remember? And you had to stand behind the line. And then when the tape moved, you went, open, you stood to the next tape. And then they went like that and they stood to the next tape. And all the big windows there, do you remember? Next thing, we're all standing singing and praising the Lord. And they're all like out through the windows. Who remembers that? Yeah, all over. Remember that? Then a big fellow outside when everybody was away one time was going to knock my melt in. Remember that, Lloyd? I said, Lloyd, you stay here till he goes. Because we were worshiping. I got a phone call. The police are coming. Just wiring you off from a certain politician. I says, thank you. Who remembers the Peter's coming? They came in, they looked out in the window again, remember? And they went, it's as if I don't know what they expected to find from that window to the next one. It was the same picture. Yeah, but they're going, right along all the big windows, remember? And I thought they were going to come in. I told the fellas, I said, if they come, keep the meeting going. I'll go out and they can take me on to the station and do what they're going to do. What are they going to do? You know? I says, you keep the meeting going. And before they went up and down and they got in the car and drove off. Something about substance through that time. A substance in you. Remember the couple looking at them? We got these big printed posters, remember, all the scriptures on them? Put them up on all the windows, so they're all standing reading the scriptures every day. Nice Church of Ireland minister reported me four times for being open while he's standing in the queue on a Sunday morning, waiting to get into Marxies. With our praising the Lord, and he's in looking in the windows, raging at me. That's called conviction. That's called conviction. Come on, brother, sister, come on. People think, oh, well, it's all gone now. We can relax ourselves. Even those that were stalwart, we're built with something of substance here. And then when it's all relaxed, we're going to go to our church. We're going to make sure every Sunday morning I'm going to church this morning. You're not going to tell me I'm not going to church this morning. I'm in church this morning. And then it's the Lord's Day comes, you're in your church. And then the next meeting comes. Make sure everywhere is shut. You're not going to tell me to be shut. I ain't going to be at my church this morning. I'm going to make sure I'm in the meeting this morning. You know. You shouldn't be doing that while all this lockdown's on. You're not going to tell me to lock down this morning. I ain't going to my meeting this morning. I don't care what you say about it. There was something in you, wasn't there? There was a substance in you. A faith that we're going on in God. And then it all relaxes and it's like, you can go to church on the Lord's Day, every Lord's Day. Heck, yeah, sure, maybe go tonight. Heck, sure. Well, sure, come out tonight. Oh, can't come tonight. Well, there's a lockdown on. I'm going to be at my church in the morning. Come on, isn't that true? I'm telling the truth. That shouldn't be the drive. The drive should be the substance of faith. The substance that's in you, brother and sister. The substance of faith. I'll be there. I'm going to go. And now they have this. That's why some people didn't come this morning. Maybe they just didn't know the roads to get around. But that half marathon's on this morning. You see, you used to have marathons on a Monday, was it Easter Monday maybe, or May Day Monday or something like that, wasn't it? And then they moved the Belfast Marathon to Sunday. Now every marathon's on a Sunday, and so is the football matches are on a Sunday. And some of the Christians go, you know what? Here's my stalwart faith. I can make it in the morning, but if they're on off quickly because the match starts at 3:30. Come on, brother. These are the things of God. These are the things of God, sister. Come on. Listen. In the last 3 years, I read yesterday, I hope I get this right, over 3,520 churches closed in the UK. And I hear people, well, that's terrible that we turned into a cinema. Will we turn into a furniture shop? Well, they're going to be turned into a charity shop. Or, well, that's terrible to turn it into a mosque. That's even worse. Oh, well, why didn't they go? Why didn't they turn up? Because there's no faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is, not will be. Brother, quit going to the matches on the Lord's Day. Come on, brother. It's shameful. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Where's your evidence? My evidence. When people look at me, well, he crumbled. He went and he shut up shop and he pulled a duvet, as it were, over his head. He sat in his pajamas watching somebody else online. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know what? I still believe in miracles. I believe, even though I haven't seen things, I haven't seen the answer to prayer come, I believe that he's still a miracle working God. Still a miracle working God. Oh, here, look at the time. Tell the children to come up, please. Believe it or not, I never touched that message again. For by it, notice by faith, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. Remember all those ones you love to talk about? Oh, do you remember when the reformers were about? Well, we'll read about them and we'll read about them all and all the great preachers of yesteryear. Do you remember whenever we hear about George Jeffreys and all that? And I'm going to mention some of this tonight, by the way. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Do you remember? You know what I remember? I remember when the Christians used to ask the unsaved to come out on a Sunday evening. Who remembers that? Christians used to ask you out to church on a Sunday evening. Now you're asking the Christians, would they come out? Isn't that true? Come on. Forgive me if I felt animated there, brothers and sisters. Come on. You just know I love yous. You just know that. I hope you do. You just know I care. I hope you know that. It's not just about getting up and preaching. I'm among yous, I'm with yous, I'm at every meeting there is. I turn up. I'm among yous to help yous, to talk to yous, to give my ear to yous, to try and lend a hand to do, because I love yous. I love your soul. But part of being a shepherd isn't always there, let me feed you. Part of being a shepherd is let me put this crook around your neck and trail you on and pull you out of the way of danger. For I see danger coming to the souls of men and women who are born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood as they drift down into rocky crevices in places of danger and disaster coming. And that's why I go, come on! That's the crook! Well, we love the staff when he fights off the lion and the bear, but the crook. God bless us this morning.